Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from United Healthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
Final hour, Jones and Keefe here on WEEI. Get to your phone calls, 617-779-7937. It's how you get in touch with the program. WEEI Afternoons comes your way at 2 o'clock. We'll still get you the grab bag and the clip du jour. But as promised, joining us from Las Vegas is Rob Bradford of the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and WEEI.com. He's brought to you by McFarland Energy, the heating, cooling, and bioheat delivery pros that Eastern Mass and all of Cape Cod depend on. McFarlaneEnergy.com. Rob Bradford, how we doing from Vegas? It's been a while out there in Vegas.
Man.
How you doing?
Yeah, you know how it is. You don't want to spend too long here. But it was nice of the Vegas Sphere to put up McFarlane all over themselves. So
That was
a great thing to see. Yeah, that was excellent. The power of McFarlane. But yeah, Vegas, baby. Yay, Vegas.
What's the scuttlebutt? What's the scuttlebutt going on out there? What's the hot topic?
The scuttlebutt, as I was telling Billy Lanny, like, I am the worst gambler of all time. I've made two bets, and they may have been the most horrific bets of all time. So anyway, that's the big scuttlebutt. Yeah, sports bets. They did a thing where you bet, and if you lose, you get the money back so you can bet again.
Yeah,
so that's exactly what they did.
Yeah, right. Right.
But yeah, I don't know what they call it.
A no sweat.
All right, well, let me rephrase the question. What's the baseball scuttlebutt?
It's the GM meetings, man. It's the GM meetings. No, I think that what Breslow said, before we get to my gambling exploits, what Breslow said in our first get-together with him in his luxurious suite overlooking the Vegas Strip, that I think that was pretty telling. I mean, honestly, that was Dombrowski-esque almost, where we said, we want to get a middle of the order bat, and we want to get a guy who can play Robin to Garrett Crochet's Batman. Like, not exactly how he had been operating. Sure, in the trade deadline last year, he did a little bit of that, saying, we want to get a guy who can pitch in the postseason. But this was, especially with a pitcher, it was, we're not concerning ourselves with the 3, the 4, the 5, the 6, the 7, 8, 9, 10. No, we need the guy who we know, no doubt about it, is going to be an ace on a lot of teams. So I thought that was something.
Okay, so it's Dombrowski-esque is an interesting way to put it. I like Breslow. That's a little bold, even for my taste. Why should we believe him, though, Rob? And I know you said last year at the trade deadline he was saying some similar things. They did not close on that. Why should we believe him? I like what he's saying, and I want to believe it. Why should we actually believe it?
Well, you're right. I mean, when I say Dombrowski-esque, I'm talking about the words. I'm not talking about the action. He has to prove that. But, you know, I think the reason why you might believe them is because we go back to last offseason, and that's what they did, right? I mean, you have to give them a ton of credit for the offseason that they had last year. You know, you did get uncomfortable with the Crochet deal. You did find a way to sign Bregman. You did have, you got all these other guys who had really, really good years. So he does get the benefit of the doubt. He doesn't get the benefit of the doubt for the trade deadline. It was the exact opposite. You're right. Because if you look at that, we said our sole purpose, our sole goal at the trade deadline was to get a number two starter, and they didn't do it. So he doesn't get the benefit of the doubt there. Absolutely. That's why we all gave him such bad grades even before we saw how disastrous Dustin May was. So, but I do think that you look back at last offseason, at least they showed, all right, we understand that we aren't going to just tread water. We understand that we are just going to do the what Chaim Bloom did a couple of off seasons, get the Kenley Jansons and the Masa Yoshidas or whatever. No, like we're going to play in the deep end of the pool. And now we're going to find out if you really want to get uncomfortable, because if you're going to get those guys that he's talking about, like, again, you're going to have to do Crochet all over again. And you're probably going to have to spend a lot more money than you did last year for a guy like Pete Alonso in getting Bregman back.
Well, so as you talk about like Crochet and doing a Crochet deal again, that, a lot of people talk about Joe Ryan since all the way back to the last deadline. That would be a trade. But there are a couple of high-end pitchers that are free agents. Would they be willing to go that route, like a Dylan Cease or a Framber Valdez?
Yeah, I think so. But I think that number one, it's they're a little bit older. I don't think they want to go that route, to be perfectly honest with you. They didn't mind doing it with Max Fried last year, but I like Dylan Cease. I like, Valdez has, obviously, as long as you're not a catcher and don't mind fastballs through your chest pads,
uh-huh.
Like he's still good. I mean, so, but I do think that my guess is that they're going to explore the trade route with this. Now, the Joe Ryan thing's interesting because you talk about scuttlebutt here in Vegas, and one of the things is this is a lot of people who aren't convinced that they're going to trade Joe Ryan. There are some people who think that Minnesota is trying to desperately make a case to ownership, say, hey, listen, this at least hang on to this guy a little bit longer. Same thing with Pablo Lopez there. So that's going to be interesting to see if they actually free him up. But, I think that there is also a drop off from Joe Ryan to some of the guys you mentioned, not only because of age, but because of performance.
Okay, well, let's stick with the trade market then. Keith asked about some free agents. Let's say Joe Ryan doesn't move or the Red Sox don't get Joe Ryan. He would fit the bill as a guy who could come in right after Garrett Crochet, pitch in a playoff series. He would be a 2, not a 3-10. Who are some other names on the trade market who fit that bill, where if the Red Sox have to pivot off Joe Ryan, they could pivot to?
Yeah, well, I mean, they made a run after Alcantara with Miami last year, so that's one of them. And although Miami's sort of like making a move now, right? I mean, they were better than people thought they were. Maybe they don't jump the gun too much in terms of trading him. And the other guy is Mackenzie Gore. Mackenzie Gore is going to be a free agent after 2028. He's a Boris guy, so that's going to be tricky in terms of getting him an extension. But you do have him for a couple years. And he showed last year he at least has the potential to be the top of the rotation guy. So I think that that's the guy a lot of people are going to focus on. And also, obviously, Paul Toboni from the Red Sox just went to run the Nationals. So maybe there's a connection there. But I think those two guys are probably the top of the list.
All right, what do you think is the most likely outcome for Jarren Duran? And if it is a trade, is it something like it's part of a big, big deal, or is it just one where you're kind of getting prospects back?
I think that to answer your first question, the consensus is that of the outfielders that they would trade, that probably he would be the biggest favorite to be dealt. And I know that a lot of people here, like saying that teams need outfielders, and we've heard Kansas City, we've heard a lot of different teams who could use a Jarren Duran. We know San Diego's infatuation with him. So, there is a market to trade an outfielder. But I think that when you're talking about trading for go back to the starting pitcher, if you're trading for one of those guys, if you cannot keep dipping into your top-end prospects and use one of these guys, use one of these major league guys to help with that deal, then you do it. And I think that that's where sort of Durant comes in. It wasn't going to be the case at the trade deadline last July, but it might be the case this time around. But I do think that ultimately one of these guys are going to get traded. I think that everyone understands that, because I think that they know that they have to balance things, some things off. This is why when they were asked about, hey, you got a middle of the order bat, you're going to want lefty or righty, they're going to be like, well, we'll take either, but kind of, you know, righty. And that's why the Schwarber thing, I don't really buy too much as I love Kyle Schwarber. Still, they're going to burn Philadelphia to the ground if they let him go there. And also, to be honest with you, because of the player he is, Alonzo probably is a better fit.
So I agree with you on that. I mean, I'd love Kyle Schwarber, but I think Alonzo's a better fit for that reason. He's Rob Bradford. You can check him out on Twitter at Bradfo. Baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com as well. Stick with Durant for a moment. John Morosi had the report yesterday. You just referenced it. The Royals are evaluating the trade market for outfielders. Angels and Red Sox are among the possible trade partners. A lot of people connecting the dots to Durant going to KC. Who could the Red Sox be looking at from the Royals if that were a fit for Durant?
Well, I mean, there's not, in terms of the Royals, there's not a logical, no doubt about it, pitcher that you're going to say, go get that guy. You know, they have good pitchers, but not the type of pitchers that you're looking at. I'll come back to Breslow's comments with it. You know, in another world, you would say, oh, yeah, you know, you have some of these guys who are decent pitchers, but they're going to slot in at 3 and 4. I mean, it even goes back to the Giolito thing, right? Like, I think that, Rich, you know this. I mean, we all wanted Lucas Giolito to stick around forever.
Absolutely.
I mean, come on. But especially after you hear what they're prioritizing, you're like, well, that's why they didn't want to keep him around, because I think they view him as a 3 or a 4 or a 5. And so to answer your question, I think that's the problem, is that you have these guys with, you know, with the Angels or the Royals or whoever, like, there's not a logical, that is the starting pitcher you're going to get. Now, like, they could turn around and do the whole Quinn Priester thing where we're going to trade this major leaguer for a single A guy, and we'll see you in a couple of years, and we're going to show everybody, say, hey, look how smart we were. I don't know. But I just do think that if you're going to trade Durant and you know that you need these two things, which are going to get uncomfortable, that you probably use him for that.
All right, as of November 12th, what do you think is going to happen with Alex Bregman?
I think there's not a great chance, less than 50% chance that I think he comes back. Oh, I don't know why.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I mean, I think that he's going to find much more of a market than he did last year. And I think the Red Sox are probably going to play chicken with him like they did last year, which worked out for them. But now you're hearing teams like Philadelphia get in the mix, and without the qualifying offer attached, you know, you have the comp of the Matt Chapman contract, so it's like, it's not like you can't get his 6-year deal. I mean, Matt Chapman got it at almost the exact same age. So I'm just a little wary that the Red Sox are going to play chicken like they did last year, and then Bregman's going to say, well, you know what? I didn't have to rely on Detroit. I didn't have to rely on Kansas City. I can rely on Dave Dombrowski or another big market team. So that's why I say I still think that obviously there's still a strong chance he comes back. But once you get other teams involved for this guy at that price, you know, you have to either say this is what we value at and we're willing to pay you, which they didn't last year, or you're going to be willing to let him go.
Okay, so less than 50% he's back, which I don't love hearing. So to me, Alonzo and Schwarber are in like a separate bucket. Those are guys you needed anyway, even with Bregman back. How do you replace Bregman? If he signs elsewhere, and you said less than 50%, that doesn't mean he won't return, but if he did...
Yeah, I mean, can I put that at like 49%?
Sure.
Like, honestly?
That's less than 50. Yeah, less than 50. We're going to stick with that. But who replaces Bregman then? How do they do that?
Well, that remains to be seen. The obvious answer is Meyer, putting Meyer over at third base. And that's another thing that we heard a lot of up in Breslow's majestic suite, you know, that, you know, how Meyer is getting bigger and stronger and bigger and stronger, and this is going to really help him.
Nice.
And yeah, I mean, so great. I mean, like, he defensively, there's no doubt he can play there. But it comes back to, you have to find a middle of the order. And, you know, Alex Bregman is a really, really good player, and he's a middle of the order.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for teen.
Holiday PSA from DSW. This is your reminder that shoes are a gift, literally. So unwrap something good, like boots that inspire your next big adventure, or cozy slippers that give you an excuse to stay in, or sneakers that feel like pure joy. Because shoes aren't just shoes, they're exactly what you wanted. Let us surprise you so you can surprise them. Find shoes that get you and everyone on your list at prices that get your budget at DSW stores or DSW.com.
Their hitter, but he couldn't just be there on his own. When they get to the end of the season last year, they had zero people who were hitting home runs. And I don't know if you know this, but that's how you went in the postseason. Like, these teams showed you hit home runs, and they didn't have anyone to do it. So I think that you need somebody other than Bregman to actually give some punch there, much like thou who shall not be said, Rafael Devers, along those lines. But, you know, I think that not only do you have to replace him at third, but you have to replace that bat along with, by the way, you know, Alonso. Like, if you get Alonso, fine. But I still, to your point, and I don't have to say they're going to trade this guy, they're going to go get this guy to replace Bregman, but you got to find someone who can at least be representative in the middle of the order if you do replace Bregman.
Trevor Story opted in, which is good for the team. Would he move over to second base, though, and say you went out and got like a Bo Bichette to play short? Would Story be willing to play second? He was good defensively, kind of until he wasn't, and he was really good at second his first year when he was teammates with Bogart. So would that be on the table for him to move off a shortstop?
Yeah, this was like Devers all over again, the comments from Breslow. You know, we're like, well, you can go to a baseball savant and see a lot of blue defensively, but, you know, we're still going to put him out there. We believe in him. He's going to get better and all that. But they're digging in. They're saying Trevor Story is our shortstop. We're not moving him off there. We think that there's a stability factor. That's all well and good. But, you know, you mentioned Bichette. And I actually think, you know, when you talk about if you want to actually go hard or go home, you go after Bichette as well. And I'm not talking about for shortstop. And, I talked to a team yesterday who really, really need a shortstop. I said, does that mean you're interested in Bichette as a shortstop? And the answer was, you think he's a shortstop? So I think that's really like the prevailing thought, that if you get a Bichette, it's a second or third kind of element. And honestly, like much like Alonso, that's not a bad thing. That's a good fit for the Red Sox. It's going to cost you a crap load of money, but still, I mean, he's a good hitter who obviously showed that he can do it on the big stage. So yeah, to answer your question though, Story's going to stay at short for now. They're going to figure it out around him.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's going to cost them a crap load of money, but they ditched the Devers contract, and if they're not re-signing Bregman, they should have a lot of it to spend.
True.
What about Murakami? I don't know if he's a third baseman or a first baseman. It sounds like probably more realistically coming over from Japan. Will the Red Sox be players for him?
Yeah, I talked to a guy who has seen him a lot, a guy from another organization. He said there's no chance he plays third base. Like, he's not playing third base. And so, okay, now you're talking about a left-hand hitting first baseman who the concern with him is that, you know, his batting average against balls or pitches over 93 miles an hour is putrid. And maybe, you know, they say, well, that's okay. His upside, his potential, we're going to change this and change that, and he'll be the power hitter that we hope he will. I mean, I think that's a pretty risky thing, because we've seen what happens when you sort of put those eggs in the basket with Yoshida and not having proof that he can do it in the major league level. But, you know, you have to throw him in the bucket there because he hits home runs and he's a power hitting guy who's going to play for the corner. And Okamoto is another guy who can play third base but doesn't have the upside of Murakami. So, again, two guys you're going to hear about related to the Red Sox. But for me, I'd rather go with sort of the certainty that you know with, you know, a Bichette or Alonso or someone like that.
You know, we heard a report earlier in the week that Skubal and Skeens not getting traded. Neither one's getting traded. I guess some of the latest rumors are someone out of Skeens' camp is saying he wants to go play for the Yankees or whatever. So would you put it at 0% that either one of those guys gets dealt, or is there a chance that something happens and we get like this massive blockbuster somewhere?
No, 0% on Skeens.
Okay.
And, you know, I talked to Sherrington yesterday. He had a really good quote about, he's like, I was like, what are those calls like? He's like, usually they last a second and involve me saying not doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And so.
But
okay,
he's taking calls, you know, though. He is taking calls on Skeens.
Well,
that.
They last a second. I mean, I take spam calls. I take spam calls, too. They last a second. This would be like I'm engaging in conversation. So, you know, I think that Skeens is 0%. I won't buy that there's a no-go on Skubal until he shows up to camp.
Yeah.
I think that's a tricky one, though, man. Like, that's Soto all over again. He's not signing an extension with you. This isn't Crochet. He has 1 year left. You're going to have to give up a crazy amount for him. If you want to make a run with 1 year with Tarek Skubal, then go for it. But he's a Boris guy. He's just not signing an extension. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I everyone would love Skubal. But for what you have to give up to get him, probably, I don't know. I would rather go the Mackenzie Gore, Joe Ryan route.
Okay. He's Rob Bradford. You can check him out at Bradfo on Twitter. Listen to Baseball Isn't Boring on the Odyssey app. And he joins us frequently here on Jones and Keefe as well. Bradfo, enjoy the what's left of Vegas, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. I'll enjoy the recycle there for another day and then head home.
Very good.
So I appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Bradfo. A couple of names that he mentioned there. And he thinks the door is more ajar on Skubal than Bob Nightingale, who said it's not happening.
Yeah, I'd be flabbergasted if Skeens got traded. I don't think that's going to happen. But that's how it starts. You know, the player wants out. You got to start to think, like, we're not going anywhere. But the team sucks.
But if Detroit can't pay him and you can get a haul, you just heard why he would get
correct.
Dealt.
Yeah.
So, and that doesn't mean the Red Sox would get him, but that's interesting. The two names he brought up for the Red Sox, because we talk about Joe Ryan all the time. I think fans have wrapped their heads around Joe Ryan and how it would look like, and that's a name a lot of people want, similar to Alonso and Schwarber. But, like, what's after that? If Ryan doesn't get dealt, or if they got to pivot because somebody else beats them to it. The two names he highlighted, Mackenzie Gore.
I would take Mackenzie Gore.
And Sandy Alcantara.
Yeah, so a couple years ago, Sandy Alcantara was nasty, right? And then wasn't as good.
Correct.
Or was it 3 years ago?
Alcantara,
he had like a filthy year.
I was looking at Gore's numbers. Oh. Alcantara won the Cy Young in 2022.
That's what it was.
Last year, his ERA was 5.36. The year before was 4.14, and then he got hurt, sandwiched in the middle. So he was coming back from an injury last year.
Gore's pretty young.
I think Alcantara was pretty good down the stretch.
I think Gore's best is in front of him. He is a big strikeout guy. And, you know, career ERA of 4.19, so nothing amazing.
Well, and I was just going to say, even last year, his all-star year, and he had a ton of strikeouts, you're right, 185
and
almost 160
out.
Innings. His ERA was 4.17.
Yeah. But I don't think he's going to cost you like an arm and a leg. But I think he could come in, and he has the upside to be your second best starter.
And he would be 27 on opening day.
Yeah,
Alcantara is going to be 30.
So Joe Ryan's probably.
Oh, good question. Where's Joe Ryan?
29 would be my guess.
Yeah,
I think Joe Ryan's probably the most consistent.
Probably in the middle
out of all those guys.
Joe Ryan will be 30 in June.
Okay.
So Sandy in the last month of the season had 5 starts, was 4-1 with a 3-10.
Got better. I think he had a real good stretch to finish the year. That's true, but like you're going to put all your eggs in that. Honestly, I guess what I'm trying to say is Gore's younger and was an all-star last year. Maybe that's interesting. That feels like a pretty big drop from Joe Ryan to the other names to me.
Yeah, I think so.
Like, are those guys definite number twos?
Mm, they pitch poorly, that's what we're going to call them.
Are they a number two starter in the American League? I don't think so.
No, I mean, Bayo didn't end great, but the way Bayo pitched last year, they might not have been better than Bayo.
So, yeah, that feels like a big drop. Mm. I don't know what I was hoping for names there, but I was hoping for better than that. 617-779-7937. You can jump in line for WEEI Afternoons. They come your way at 2 o'clock. Yeah, I got Hart. Yeah, I got Fitzy. Yeah, I got Ted. Plus, you got Adam Schefter today at 3:45. We will get you the clip du jour. And right after trending with Billy Lanny, it's time for Grab Bag.
Goodbye, home run. Yes, Grab Bag Jones. Mr. Grab Bag.
Adam Grab Bag Jones is once again in trouble with the law. Grabbag was arrested after an incident downtown.
Ark Raiders, a multiplayer extraction adventure game where most of humanity shelters underground. But Raiders rise to the surface in search of something greater. In the Rust Belt, danger isn't the end of the story. It's the beginning of the adventure. Every journey above ground is a gamble against the relentless machines of Ark and rival raiders chasing the same dream. Explore a lethal yet vibrant world scarred by old conflicts and reclaimed by nature, where shifting conditions make every high-stakes run unpredictable. Ark Raiders. Available now on PlayStation 5, Xbox Series X, S, and PC. Rated T for Teen.
Old school security kicks in after the break-in. Too late. Simply Safe rewinds the story, stopping crime before it starts. Active Guard Outdoor Protection uses AI-powered cameras to detect intruders, alert live monitoring agents, and can deter intruders before they reach your door. It's proactive protection, plus a 60-day money-back guarantee and no contracts. To get 60% off your new system, go to simplysafe.com/podcast. That's simplysafe.com/podcast. There's no safe like Simply Safe.
Heather is a nurse practitioner from UnitedHealthcare.
We meet patients wherever they live.
During a house call, she found Jack had an issue.
Jack's blood pressure was dangerously high.
It was 217 over 110.
So they got Jack to the hospital and got him the help he needed.
He had had a stent placed in his heart, preventing a massive heart attack.
If it wasn't for my guardian angel, I wouldn't be here.
Hear more stories like Jack's at unitedhealthcare.com. Benefits, features, and/or devices vary by plan. Area limitation and exclusions apply.
When was the last time you thanked God for your health care? At Redeem Healthshare Ministry, it's not just about paying medical bills. It's about honoring Christ and relieving the burden of rising medical costs. From routine checkups to life surprises, Redeem offers affordable, flexible programs supported by a caring Christian community. Say amen to healthcare that fits your faith and your budget. See how it works at redeemhealthshare.org.
I'm caught up in the game. My attention is on every play and every whistle. But what I'm missing is a signal coming from my kidneys. That signal isn't like a ref's whistle. It's more of a silent SOS, which could be warning me of an increased risk for events like heart attack or stroke. And a way I can catch that signal? A simple urine test called UACR. If you have type 2 diabetes or high blood pressure, talk to your doctor about the UACR test. Detect the SOS. Visit detecttheSOS.com to learn more.